Good evening. Thank you so much for joining me, Linda Reagan, in the KKRN studio in Reading as the Scratched Up Players present Arts Around Town. And I want to thank all of you who have donated to keep this community radio station on the air. It really does have something for everybody. If you haven't yet donated and would like to help keep us up and running, please go online to KKRN and find the donate button. We all donate our time and we appreciate your support. When you go online, be sure and check out the station's schedule, and if you miss something that you would like to hear, you can find it online. Now, as usual, I'm in the studio with Lily Dubois, our technical wizard and creative advisor, without whom this show would not be possible. I'm very pleased to have as my guest today one of Axiom Repertory Theater's busiest actor, musicians, Daniel Hill. Daniel is currently reprising his role as Woody Guthrie in Woody Guthrie's American Song. It is playing now through July 4th, and I strongly recommend it. It ran last summer to packed houses and had rousing energy throughout. You can obtain tickets online and possibly at the door. And you still have two chances to see David Auburn's award-winning play Proof at the Riverfront Playhouse. Tomorrow, Friday, and Saturday evening at 7:30 are the last opportunities to see this brilliant production with Mallory Glavin and John Welsh, directed by Samantha Fork. The new Riverfront Playhouse is located at 1950 California Street. Check it out and go early, and take advantage of the refreshments in the play-themed lounge. Tickets are available online and at the door. And in other announcements, the Reading Performing Arts Center offers classes in youth theater and performance theater for all ages, including children's theater starting at grades 1 and 2 on up through high school, with classes in musical theater and dance. Check it out at readingperformingartscenter.com. If you have an aspiring performer around, I also want to call your attention to the Scratched Up Players every Thursday night at 8 p.m. The first two Thursdays are our play presentations of local writers. The third Thursday is Arts Around Town with theater news and interviews. And the fourth Thursday is Write Stuff with Jim Dowling interviewing authors. So please tune in and let us know what you think. And please, if there is an announcement you would like to hear on this program, email me at Linda Reagan, all small letters, 150@gmail.com. We welcome your thoughts and input on events you would like to announce. If you have questions you would like answered about theater in our town, please email me and we will find the answer for you. So, my guest, as I told you before, is Daniel Hill. Welcome to Arts Around Town.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Oh, yes, we were supposed to do this a couple months ago with Secret Garden, I think.
Yeah.
And you weren't well, and it didn't work out.
Yeah, I think I caught a bug, but Secret Garden was a beautiful show.
It was. Well, you've done a lot of beautiful shows.
Yeah.
It's been a busy year for you.
It has been. We're just working, always improving and paying it forward, putting a lot of work into one show, and it benefits the next one in one way or another.
Really does. I especially love the 39 Steps, as everybody knows, because I talked about it all the time.
Oh, yeah. That was a great show. Russell Pyatt, first time working with him, fabulous director. And then I landed the role for this show, and I just had a list of names, the three other people that were in it. It was Jocelyn Carter, Matt McDonald, and Pamela Carney. And I didn't really know any of them going into that.
Oh, my God.
So I was talking to a couple friends. I was talking to Blake Fisher, Viva Downtown, and I was mentioning the names, and he's like, oh, they put you with the heavy hitters, the local legends. And I was like, what are you talking about?
And now you're working with two other local legends, the Collins kids.
Yeah. Banjo Bill and Lisa. Yeah,
they're so great.
I can't get enough. There is so much talent around here.
There really is. So you like playing Woody?
I do. And it's a very cool show because we're all sort of playing Woody Guthrie, but I get to kind of embody the young traveling storytelling guy. But it's fun because you're playing Woody Guthrie, but Woody Guthrie's songs are all rooted in everybody besides him. He was a storyteller. He was going around taking everybody else's stories, and he was the songwriter, and he finds that blend between what's going on in the world and how can I help tell the story? So as much as I'm playing Woody Guthrie, I'm also playing just the spirit of everyone he met along the way on his travels. So.
And those songs are just so iconic, and they've been around forever. I didn't think I knew his stuff, and then I went to see the show last year, and it was like, I know all these songs. I grew up with this stuff, and I didn't even know.
Yeah, we had a friend there on opening night, and he's like, wow, those are all earworm songs. It's like, you hear them, and then they just get caught in there, and you just can't get rid of them, and they're so fun. If you ain't got the do-re-mi, or, you know, just lots of little songs.
Yeah, well, do you have a group, too, a musical group that you play with?
I have a few. I have a rock band I've been playing with for 6 or 7 years called Highway 3, based out of Weaverville.
So
we play a lot of my songs. A couple of the guys write some songs, too. And I play with some folks around Reading, too, a couple of folk artists.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah. But I really like the Woody Guthrie Band. It doesn't get much better than this.
They are. They're wonderful.
Yeah.
Just wonderful. And is it different this year than it was last year?
It's different. Our friend Dave Palin, who was on guitar, he's visiting some family in Hawaii, so he couldn't come back. So Rick Amaker had to sort of take over some of his parts. And Nancy Hill, my stepmother and director, she was playing piano last year, and we brought in this guy, Bill Ruess, R-U-E-S-S, and he's on piano now, and so she's got to finally be a true director and sit in the audience. So she was sitting out there, and she was tweaking and you know, streamlining everything. So there was a lot of moments we were conveying the emotion, but we were sort of just all standing there, you know, in our spots. And now there's a lot more sort of dynamic movement and ebb and flow to it.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I can't imagine it better than last year, but I can't wait to see it, I guess, next weekend.
Yeah. Last year was crazy because we put up the show in 4 weeks. It might have been 6, but I remember it was a hustle. We didn't take a day off. We went. The show opened. And it closed in a blink of an eye. And this year, we actually got to sort of take all of that stuff from last year, all of that knowledge, and sort of just really, you know, think about the meaning behind everything. And Lisa kind of did a lot of that. She co-directed.
Yeah,
and she's
wonderful.
Yeah, before we got too far ahead of ourselves, you know, she was like, hey.
What about this?
What about this, you know? How would you feel if you were here? Who are you singing about? What are you thinking about when you're singing these songs? So now we're really all just one kind of cohesive family unit up there.
Well, I thought you guys really put it across last year, but this is really terrific.
Yeah.
To have it back again. I mean, maybe it'll become a tradition.
We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. We definitely love having it back. And man, we're making leaps and bounds technically. Our sound guy, he's like, I'm making up for last year. We all thought it sounded great, but he kind of came at it with this heated ambition and mixing monitors on the stage. And our lighting guy is programming. We have like 80 lighting cues. So it's constantly, you know, shifting. Yeah, it really just kind of evolved.
So I know this is probably a silly question, but how did you get into theater?
Well, I grew up in Weaverville over the hill, and in third grade, we were doing a school play, and we were doing the Nutcracker, so I auditioned. Little did I know when I was so young, my dad had already directed 100 plays, and he just moved us to a little town and bought a movie theater and was doing a businessman, relaxing, taking a break kind of thing. And so all of my older sisters, they knew him as the theater director guy, and I never really got much of that growing up. But I did school plays, and it wasn't until I got in high school that my dad was like, I'm going to direct a show. He directed Godspell, and I got to play Jesus and with a lot of my other friends. And it was the coolest thing. We had a live band. They were on top of this scenic piece that was crafted. And we did this rockin' Godspell show, and I kind of got hooked. I was like, whoa, theater can be very powerful. So traveled around, went to school, worked some jobs, eventually made my way back into Reading, and sure enough, my dad had started up this company with Nancy, and then I sort of slithered my way in, and now I've caught the bug.
It's so exciting, isn't it?
It's so fun.
It is. It's really great. So is this your favorite role, or is the role you're doing currently your favorite role always, or is there something that you've done that really sticks with you?
That's a good question. I think it's my favorite role, but simultaneously right now, I'm I'm reading a few different scripts or shows I really want to do. There's a show on my mind that I just can't get off my head, and I know that's going to be the favorite role if it ever comes to fruition.
Could it be Hamlet?
No.
It's
no.
Not Hamlet.
But I do think I'll be a part of that show, which is cool.
Yeah.
Maybe not playing that role, but yeah. We'll see.
I want to be part of that show too, doing anything. I told him, I said, I'll carry a spear.
Oh my gosh, that would be so fun.
I know.
Yeah, that's going to be a great show. I had never read Hamlet, but it's one of those shows, you hear the name, you hear Hamlet, and you feel like you should know everything because it's such a staple. It carries so much weight. So I had never read it, thought I should know everything about it, but I was like, okay, we're going to do Hamlet. So I'm in Oregon at the Cabaret. We're watching a show down there, and we went to a bookstore beforehand, and I saw they had a really nice copy of Hamlet from some famous, you know, Shakespearean company authors with all the notes and transcriptions and everything. And so I bought it, and I read the show tediously, writing all my notes. And by the time I got to the end, I was like, whoa, this is nothing like I expected it to be. This is just one of the most spectacular pieces of theater I've ever read. And we've got to do it. And I've got to be in it.
And it's done so many different ways. That's what fascinates me. I mean, I've seen it over the years. I've read it many times. And everybody has a different take on it. And they're all valid. And it's all just fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really anxious to see how John Truitt is going to direct this and what his take is on it.
I'm interested, too.
Yeah.
From what I've heard, he's got a really good take. Apparently everybody makes cuts. There's some things you don't cut in the show. There's some scenes in there that are just there because when William Shakespeare was writing the show, he's like, well, I got to give these guys some parts. So he writes the whole gravedigger scene. He creates comedy in Hamlet when there really doesn't, it doesn't progress the story at all.
Yeah.
So there might be some things that are cut that'll just save some time for the audience. You know, it can be great theater, but if you're sitting there for...
It's a long play.
Yeah.
Did you see the movie, the Kenneth Branagh movie?
No.
Oh, he did the whole play. Yeah. It was very interesting. It was very good.
I'll have to check it out. Yeah, I've been holding off on watching too much on it.
Yeah. But, you know, it doesn't matter. You can see endless versions of it. It lends itself to so many different types.
Yeah, people theme it, you know, they'll do a Western version or this version. You can design it any way you want. So yeah, I'm interested to see what he does.
Yeah. I wondered if he was going to do it in modern dress or if he was going to do it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I have no clue as
anything.
Well. Yeah. I did audition.
Did
so,
you?
Yeah, so we'll see. They're having callbacks here in the next few days. So
yeah.
We'll see what kind of ensemble he puts together and how he dresses it up. And
but that wasn't the one you're excited about.
It's not.
Ooh.
And I'm not going to say the one I'm
all
excited
right.
about yet,
okay.
But it involves music. I've been playing guitar and learning new songs.
Oh, okay.
So I really like the shows that you get to play music along to.
Yeah.
There's some ones on Broadway right now that are really interesting. Then there's this new wave of actor coming out. They call them actor/musicians,
uh-huh.
You know, and there's all these shows
that would be
where, I'm like, that's a niche that I can fill. And I really love doing that. So
fantastic.
Yeah.
So is there a role that you would like to play that you've maybe been thinking about besides the one that's coming up here?
Well, in October we're doing Rocky Horror, and I think I'm playing Brad this year. I've played Rocky the last few years.
Oh, okay.
So that'll be a fun little switch. And then Hamlet, of course, there's lots of good roles in there and the show that's on my mind. Other than that, the dream role is there's a Broadway show going on right now called Hadestown. And it explores the Greek gods, Eurydice and Orpheus and Hades and his counterpart and... It's a really unique show, but the
character... Sounds like
the
it. I'm not familiar with it at all.
It's really cool.
And it's a musical?
It's a musical, and the lady who wrote the musical, Anais Mitchell, she spent 10-odd years working on it, and the music's just fantastic, and it doesn't start from beginning to end. It's just this beautiful love story sort of told. And
well, it's Orpheus and Eurydice, right?
Yeah, it is. And Orpheus plays a liar, and he says it. She has a line. She's like, he's like, he talks about being like a theater player and he plays the lyre. She's like, oh, so you're a player and a lyre. And lots of funny lines and really beautiful songs. And so that's another one where the guy's sort of playing guitar and singing at the same time, but it's a beautiful story. I don't think the rights for that will be available for a few years, though.
Oh, okay. Well, I know your dad will be in on it as soon as possible.
Yeah, I think so.
He is so hip.
He is. He reads so many scripts. He's always got a new pile. He gets 6 or 7 sent to him every month, and he reads them and puts some in different piles and moves on.
Yeah. So is there a character you had a hard time letting go of?
I had a hard time of letting go of Richard Hannay from the 39 Steps. We were rehearsing for Frankenstein, and we were doing some improv and some other stuff, just sort of loosening up. And at a certain point, my director says, hey, put Richard Hannay away, because I was just talking in that sort of radio voice. Yeah, it took me a while to break free from that. It was really kind of manifesting in my life. I was just talking as if I was Richard Hannay all the time.
Yeah.
And took a little while. Luckily this year for Woody Guthrie, I've had people tell me I'm a little less country hick, because I know last year it was the easiest way for me to get in character was just to be all country, and I'm Woody Guthrie, and we're talking like this. And now it's a little more relaxed and feels a little less like a forced character. Not that it was a bad thing last year, but now that I'm sort of doing multiple shows at once, you have to really sort of make sure you're not bringing one character into the next one, and it's kind of hard.
I know. It is hard to compartmentalize those characters, isn't it?
Yeah, because I was trying to forget Hannay while I was learning Frankenstein, rehearsing for Woody Guthrie, and reading scripts for Hamlet all the same. There's 4 or 5 different shows going on, and not to mention I like to write stuff on my own, and it's a lot to hold.
Yeah, it is a lot to hold. So have you written plays?
I've written short 10, 15-minute plays. Not even that long, about 10 minutes, little.
Have they been produced anywhere?
Not yet, but we're thinking about doing a little new plays festival at the theater here soon, so I might pitch a little 10-minute one act.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do that at the Riverfront. They do Playwrights Night Out.
Yeah, they do.
With short plays. Have you seen any of those?
No, I just saw that they did like the one for kids, though, right?
Yeah. Did you see it?
No, I didn't. Did you?
No, I didn't. Okay. I thought it was going to be 2 weekends and it was only one, so.
Yeah. Have you gone and seen Proof yet?
Last night.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
I'd love to hear what you thought.
Oh, my God. I couldn't sleep last night. But I get that way if I go to the theater at night, you know. It doesn't matter if it's good, bad, or indifferent, but this is great.
That's what I've heard.
Absolutely great. Yeah. You must see it.
Okay. I will. That settles it.
Yeah. It's really worthwhile.
Anything Mallory's in.
Mallory is fantastic.
I saw her in Steel Magnolias, and now I'm hooked.
Oh, she is just amazing in this. And John, of course. John is my God.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that guy is awesome.
Yeah. But yes, so I can't wait to see Woody again. That was wonderful. I attended Bar a few times last year, and I had seen it several times. And when I was out tending Bar or waiting, you know, for the break, God, the music and the energy of that show, it just rocked the whole building. It was incredible.
We've had the best friends and audience members showing up for our first two opening performances. And we've had, 150 houses for Rocky and three, 300, 400 people in there for the Pink Floyd band coming in. And we've had these big houses, and then we have an opening night with, 40 or 50 people, and they're sitting in there, and it's easy to be like, man, it's not full. But then we're singing, and they're clapping, and they're laughing, and they're reacting, they're singing with us, and they're following along, and everybody's just there together.
Yeah.
And gosh, I don't know what can compare to the last couple days at the theater. It's been so wonderful. 'Cause we really take you for a ride. It's a fun show, but it's really not an easy show to put on or watch, because it gets really heavy.
It does.
Not necessarily in a bad way, but we sing these funny songs, Oklahoma Hills, and and, you know, riding my pony on the reservation. It's all like lighthearted, but then we're also singing about, you know, the sinking of American warships and people that were lost on those, and crashings of planes with Mexican immigrants, and, you know, how they were referred to in the media, and you know, this land is your land. We like to think about all the fun verses, but there's also, in the shadow of the steeple by the relief office, I saw my people, and they were hungry and stood there waiting. Is this land made for you and me? It's not definitive. It's questioning, and it's
happening.
It's happening. It gives you so much to think about.
Yeah.
Yeah. You won't, if you leave and you don't feel even slightly changed in the tiniest bit, I'll give you your money back personally, you know,
yeah.
Like, cause there's no way that, cause, and you know, these are songs from Woody Guthrie, but they're songs from you and me and everybody else. It's pulled straight from the source.
Yeah. It's very powerful. I recommend it highly.
Yeah.
And people are going to see it again and again.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. Great audiences last year. Really full houses. And yeah. So get your tickets. Get them now.
Yeah. AxRepTheatre.com. AxRepTheatre.
Oh, that's good. Thank you. Because I've been saying AxiomRepertoryTheatre.com.
Yeah, it's
AxRep.
And if you go on Google and you type in Axiom Repertory Theater, Redding, California, whatever, it will pop up and it'll take you to the website. So don't worry about that. You'll find it.
It's been great. Yeah. Well, I thank you very much for coming.
Thanks for having me.
Yes. And finding out a little bit more about your father, too, because I've interviewed Nancy, but I don't blame him. He doesn't want to be interviewed.
Yeah, he's really good at setting up systems and delegating, right?
He's a good talker too.
He's good. He won't stop.
Yeah,
he'd be here for an hour. He's like, no, I don't need to be there. I don't need to be there. But if he is there,
he'll be there.
Yeah.
I know Lily went to one of his talks recently and she was very excited.
yeah if you're ever thinking about theater, come on down, audition, help out. We're always looking for new folks to hang out and pitch in. And if you get a chance to do a show with Ken Hill, let me tell you, you'll learn
a lot.
Yeah
All right, well, thank you very much.
Yeah,
this was great.
I look forward to coming back, talking again.
Great. Next show.
All right.
Okay. So if you're just tuning in, I was speaking with Daniel Hill, who is starring in the Woody Guthrie song, American song, the Woody Guthrie American song at Axiom Repertory Theater. So I want to thank you all for joining me with Daniel Hill today. And remember our other local shows. Saturday, we have Off the Shelf with Dr. Mary Mitchell. She discusses books from her own library that have inspired her thinking and feeling. If you're looking for something different on Sunday morning at 8 a.m., Dr. J.D. Humphrey plays eclectic, often fanciful music that you may never have heard before. Janie Seeger is also on Sundays at 10 a.m. with Heaven's Radio Gospel Hour. Another local show, if you're missing the sound of bagpipes, is The Piping Hour with Dr. Stephen Rookledge, as he explores the sound of Celtic traditional bagpipes, voice, harp, and fiddle music. We hope you will explore, enjoy, and support our local shows, as well as those that come to KKRN from the national networks. For instance, LA Theater Works and The Smooth Side of Jazz. Check out our full schedule online at kkrn.org.
The butcher, the baker, the grocer, the clerk are secretly unhappy men because the butcher, the baker, the grocer, the clerk get paid for what they do. business like no business I know. Everything about it is appealing. Everything the traffic will allow. Nowhere could you get that happy feeling when you are stealing that extra bar. There's no people like show people. They smile.
Coughing on me.
It's okay. I've already had COVID.
You can have it more than once. You better get the vaccine.
For vaccine information, ask your doctor or your local pharmacist.
Hey there, this is Thorin Hansen from KKRN 88.5 FM from Round Mountain.